This is the Speak for Yourself podcast featuring the best of Colin Cowherd and Jason Whitlock. I'm your host, Jason McIntyre. Taco Tuesday, everybody. Getting a little more love this week thanks to my Warriors prediction of a sweep. Went on the herd today, bragged about it a little bit, and then I caught heat from everybody online because that's what you people do. Whitlock is still holding it against Kevin Durant for joining the Warriors and taking the easy route to the finals. Cowherd explains why LeBron is a better basketball player than Michael Jordan, according to the eye test. Former Super Bowl champ Eric Davis explains why Colin Kaepernick doesn't need to say anything. Former NBA player Eddie House tells you that this report about Lonzo Ball and not going to the Lakers, he believes it's just posturing by the Celtics for leverage. Former NBA All-Star and slam dunk champ Cedric Ceballos shares a great story about being in a room with Jordan, Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, and Carmelo Anthony. And we actually had a discussion, honestly, about whether or not Steph Curry is too cocky. Yes, that happened. Ready for Speak for Yourself? Cowherd and Whitlock, take it away.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Jason Whitlock, and I'll tell you why you and all of us are to blame for these boring NBA playoffs.
And I'm Colin Cowherd, and I'll tell you why everything the Lakers say about Lonzo Ball right now, total smokescreen. Speak for Yourself starts right now on a Tuesday.
I don't know, I'm kind of buying Lonzo Ball.
I cannot wait to buy season tickets to the Lakers.
All right, hello and welcome. Join us today our NBA champion Eddie House and former NBA All-Star Cedric Ceballos. Let's talk NBA Finals. We start with LeBron James, who finds himself down 0-2 in the NBA Finals. But in the larger scheme of things, he's down 3 rings to Michael Jordan, who's got 6. LeBron has made it no secret that he's chasing MJ's ghost, but today he didn't seem too fazed by his team's current predicament.
For me, like I said, no matter win, lose, or draw, if you give everything you got to the game, you prepare yourself mentally, physically, you know, you do your job, then there's nothing to be afraid of the moment for. It's nothing to be disappointed or, you know, about the game or how the outcome is. It's, you know, if you prepare yourself, then you can be okay with the outcome. I mean, I can't. I speak for myself.
All right, Colin, do you still think LeBron can catch MJ?
Yeah, I mean, you can't live in the moment. Kevin Durant in 48 hours rips up his knee. Oh, LeBron and the Cavs are back. History's going to be really kind to him. When Jack Nicklaus played, people didn't like him. A lot of people. They liked Arnie Palmer. When Ali fought, a lot of people didn't like him. My dad liked Frazier. A lot of people didn't like Ali. I saw Ali lose to Frazier. Get his jaw broken from Norton. Lose to Jimmy Young. Okay, history's going to look back at LeBron when he's out of his prime, and we're going to go, oh, he's number one in everything. He's going to be number one in final appearances, MVPs. Now, he may not get a 6th title, but just remember all the difference makers, politically, sports, art. They had a lot of critics in their prime.
I think that LeBron James is going to look back with regret, just purely on basketball. I'm not going to say he's going to say it's a mistake, but if he wanted to really catch MJ, I think he needed to trim his focus, narrow his focus. I think being a business mogul, being a movie maker, being an activist now, being involved in charity work and a philanthropist, I think he did more things than MJ in his prime. MJ sold shoes and played basketball, and that was it. LeBron in his earlier career, if he had just had a much more narrow focus just on basketball, I think he would have called MJ. I don't think he can do it now.
Well, because of the internet and the technology, we see more stuff that LeBron is doing. Obviously, Michael was doing charity work and all that other stuff. We just didn't see it as much, and maybe he didn't need to publicize that. He can't catch MJ. 0 losses in the finals. Never been to a 7 game. When you come to statistics, I said it when this gentleman came into the league, he would be the best scorer and most points and rebounds and assists in every position, every facet. Because of the way he came in, he's an 18-year-old kid. He's going to fluctuate his through. He's going to play longer than Jordan. His body is bigger than Jordan. He's more durable. That's what's going to happen. Then Kevin Durant is going to overlap him because he started this league coming out 23, 25 points a game. He just scored more opportunities to score, and Kevin Durant is a scorer. So I don't think he can catch MJ. He's going to catch him statistically-wise, but as far as damage of work and also not being able to lose, I thought Russell could never be caught because of 11 championships, but he lost some championships, and Michael has never done that.
When we're defining legacy, what are we talking about? Are we talking about philanthropy? Are we talking about being an activist? Are we talking about finals? Are we talking about points? What are we defining? Because he's surpassed Michael as far as being in the community, being an activist. He's passed him on that.
Talking about basketball.
Yeah, okay, so we talking about basketball. What defines your legacy? Is it rings or is it points?
It's not just rings. If it was, Barkley wouldn't be talked about.
Or we be talking about Bill Russell as the GOAT.
That's right.
But obviously, he's never in the conversation. So it's a combination of rings and points. Now, when you talk about that, he's going to blow out every stat that Jordan has. LeBron surpassing by so many, I don't think anybody will ever be able to touch those.
How about this stat? Eyeball test.
The eyeball test, I mean.
Yeah, bigger, stronger, faster.
Bigger, stronger, faster, LeBron. But Jordan is the closer of all closers. That's the one thing Jordan did. Went to six finals, didn't lose, six-time MVP.
Yeah.
And LeBron got three MVPs.
Here's my eyeball test. Jordan quit in the middle of his career. LeBron didn't. How would Jordan have handled social media?
I got one for you, Jay. So listen, Montana.
Colin.
He quit because of.
We don't know why he quit.
Exactly.
That's never been defined. Tim Grover has published it that a year before he quit, he didn't tell the Bulls anything. There's been gambling rumors. I don't think it's fair. There's his father. Tim Grover said he wanted to try baseball. There has never been a definitive.
But he can't retire and come back?
Okay, but if you're.
How's that a knock against
him? Okay, you just said eyeballs. Eyeballs. One guy quit. LeBron has been to seven straight finals.
One guy retired.
Why?
And again, the eyeball I'm talking about is like you sit him on the court. Who's the better basketball player?
I think overall LeBron is the better basketball player. Overall,
Michael's the better scorer.
He could pass better than him.
I found the two people who definitely need lacing.
No, he could pass better than Jordan could pass. He could do a lot of different things better than Mike.
He's faster. He's stronger.
So is it the rings or what? Because if it's just rings, then it's Joe Montana's the best quarterback, right? But they argue that Tom Brady's the but he has two losses.
Yeah,
in the Super Bowl.
I don't understand this.
So if it's just the clean record, then it has to be Joe Montana and not Tom Brady.
What is this?
But that's the argument.
What is this? This network has been built by the Murdoch family. Have they not had a business that didn't exceed expectations? Like, what businessman's like perfect? What president
Michael
gets?
Jordan.
And again,
he's perfect. That's my agreement.
He's perfect in the finals.
Him.
Yeah, but he couldn't get out of the first round.
Boston, he couldn't beat Boston. He couldn't beat Detroit.
You guys are all
he had paralyzed. You guys
by
are forgetting
perfect.
About just the.
Listen, man, I'm not even a Michael Jordan fan.
Oh, brother.
No. I literally
6-0 was beautiful. Though.
I called him hot air his entire career. I'm a hardcore Pacer fan, Reggie Miller, and all that. I didn't like, but I'm not gonna disrespect what the man did on the court.
Yes.
It's unblemished. It's one of the most remarkable things we've ever seen.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. And it's not a knock on LeBron. It's more remarkable than what we've seen from LeBron.
So Joe Montana should be the best quarterback. He's 4-0 with three MVPs.
I've always thought John Elway was.
John Elway got blew out by Joe Montana.
Don't go to war with the John Elway.
55-10.
Roger Staubach.
Hey, it's Jason McIntyre. And before we move into the next topic, I want to take some time to tell you about ZipRecruiter. I started thebiglead.com and I know firsthand how much of a challenge it is to put the right team together. You got to hire the right people. You cannot find the best candidates by posting your job just to one website. You need to post it to all the sites. At ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to over 100 job sites with just one click. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in less than 24 hours. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes nationwide. And right now, our listeners can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/speak. That's ZipRecruiter.com/speak. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/speak, and you can start building your perfect team right away.
Many of you are saying these NBA playoffs are boring, that KD's to blame because he's the one who moved the Warriors. Well, you might be the one to blame. You. That's according to Sports Illustrated's Michael Rosenberg, good writer, who says KD moved because fans and the media put way too much emphasis on titles, and KD caved to that pressure. Whitlock, you think KD was unfairly pressured by us to chase a ring with the Warriors?
I think there was two factors, and this is one of the factors, that we've turned everything into a rings discussion. I've participated, we all have participated in the media. That's one factor. Look, the dynamic between he and Russell Westbrook is another factor, but I do think this plays a part. Nobody wants to retire, have a great career, and then spend the rest of their life answering, I mean, and win a title. Well, hell, because I didn't get to play with everybody, or the situation wasn't right. I was in Oklahoma City, and we had some cap issues. It was a small market. You can't be Reggie Miller anymore. You can't be these guys that stay in one. Dominique Wilkins stayed in Atlanta, I think, for the entirety of the important part of his career. You can't be those guys anymore.
I totally disagree. I think Michael's a great writer. I totally disagree. Mobility's not new. Here's something studies have proven. Cool kids know they're cool at 6 years old. A kid knows he's socially accepted or not. Kids get shy quick. They get verbose quick. Talented people know early. Kurt Cobain, I'm better than Aberdeen, Washington. Columnists, I should be national, not local. Bands, we can play with the Beatles. Talented people have always moved and been willful and aspirational in music, politics. Why does the local senator run for president? Because he watches.
Ego.
Well, but that ego is often founded on, I'm in a room with him.
It has to do with the boys in the band in the locker room. It has nothing to do with the fans wanting to move, the press, media. It has nothing to do with that. Kevin Durant, I go to Michael Jordan's parties in the All-Star break. And Kobe's there, Michael, Carmelo. Everybody's there.
You just dropped here.
Yeah, just dropped. But what I'm saying is, I'm not in the caliber of those players, but I am invited to the party. And when they start talking trash amongst each other, I shut the hell up. Carmelo shuts up. KD, they all be quiet. You can't say nothing because they don't have any jury. He was 9 years in OKC. Went to the finals. They let the beard go. Had an opportunity to get back, lost 3 in a row. They let Serge go. The Oklahoma City, you got to look at Kevin looking at his team that he's been devoted for 9 years. They thought, hey, we're a low market. We're going to get a lot of money with these two individuals being superstars. And he's like, I need more than just to be a superstar.
That's right.
I want to try to win. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fellas hanging around each other. Eddie knows right now in the back of his mind, he better than me. Because why? He got jury. And I don't care about how many points I had or he had 50 in college. It doesn't matter. He's got jury. That's why I always say, I'm a Cal State Fullerton guy. They always put me, you're the best. No, I'm not. Bruce Bowen is the best. He has the jury that I can never get and I want. And that's what Kevin Durant wants.
Among players, that's a real thing.
I don't think he was pressured by anybody to make this move. I think it was all his decision at the end of the day. He was just unfairly criticized for the move.
Yes, yes.
I think you have an opportunity to move somewhere, a better city, if you want to say that city's better than OKC, in a bigger market, if you want to say the Bay Area is a bigger market, and play with better guys. If you go to a job and you have better coworkers, you guys don't have better job and better production. What's wrong with that? And you're making more money, and you have an opportunity to bring more light to your skills, and you're having fun.
By the way,
the thing. He's having fun out there.
Moses Malone did this. Shaq did this.
Charles Barkley did it.
But it's the
twice.
I mean,
he did it twice.
Agents.
Went to Phoenix and then he went to Houston.
This league
with Scottie Pippen.
This league has been run for the last 30 years by shoe companies and agents. Agents and shoe companies said, Shaq, big fella, Orlando, LA. Is that pressure? Sometimes you're too big for the room. KD was too big for OKC.
There's been about three times where the number one or number two player has moved, and teams have moved him. One, Milwaukee Bucks moved Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was the number one player then.
Yep.
You can say Shaq was maybe the number one player when he moved from Orlando until Los Angeles at the time. This is just the flip side of it. This is a player. We have the rights now. We didn't have those rights then.
And that's
then.
The problem. A lot
we
of
have
people,
the rights
A lot of the
go.
Owners are getting upset at the fact that the players
that's
have
right.
the power now
yes.
to make these moves, and it's taken away from them.
Yeah.
having all of the power. That's the most important thing, and that's the problem with everything right now.
I have a problem with him moving to that particular team.
Why? That's where he
was an easier path. Look, if those group of players were in Milwaukee, he would have moved there, in my opinion.
You live in a nice neighborhood. You could have moved in a lot of neighborhoods. You chose a nice one.
I chose a very nice neighborhood in Compton, and I'm not remotely ashamed of it. I have a very nice house in Compton. 2-bedroom, 1,800 square feet.
Joining us now, former Super Bowl champ Eric Davis, founder of TheBigLead.com, Jason McIntyre. Let's talk the league, National Football League, to Colin Kaepernick, who's been keeping a low profile this offseason despite making headlines almost every single day, like yesterday when the Seahawks officially announced they were not signing him as a backup. Now, some people, like Whitlock here, believe Cap needs to speak out and reaffirm his desire to play football. Others disagree, like former NFL linebacker Seth Joyner, who tweeted at Whitlock, "Hey, he's doing the right thing. Nothing he says will change the perception. So it's best to be silent and allow the chips to fall where they may." All right, Whitlock, you still think it's a mistake for Kaepernick to stay silent on his football career?
It's a giant mistake. The name of this show is Speak for Yourself for a reason, because we believe in it. And no one can define Kaepernick better than Colin Kaepernick. Why is he leaving it up to the rest of the media? Why is he retweeting what others are saying about him to passively, aggressively say what he thinks? He needs to come out and tell us what he really thinks, what he is really interested in, answer some questions, and keep it moving. He doesn't need to be hiding behind other journalists and leaking out information.
You and I agree on this. We can disagree on a lot on Cap, but if you don't define yourself, others will define you. He's absolutely an NFL quarterback. I wouldn't build my team around him, but I wouldn't build my team around a lot of these backup guys. I'm just waiting for him to talk. Football, quarterback's the talk position. You can have a silent left guard. You can have a silent safety. My quarterback's talk. And he's letting others define who he is. Now, I understand. Here's the funny thing about the world we live in. Even if you're a quiet type, there's so many devices to talk. There's Facebook, brief post. There's Twitter. There's a lot of devices if you're not verbose, if you're not outspoken. I mean, you know, Tom Brady uses charities, uses certain moments. He does these little YouTube things. But there's a lot of ways to speak. You gotta say something, or you know what I'm thinking right now? So the guy will talk politics. He's pretty good at it, but he won't talk football. I see it almost as a weakness. Say something.
But defining himself in a press conference isn't gonna do anything. You guys remember Tim Tebow signed with the Jets? A backup quarterback held a press conference. He was openly mocked for that. Remember, he said excited like 45 times. Why is a backup holding a press conference?
I don't think
it's not going to do anything for Kaepernick.
What about an
interview? Remember,
an interview?
But then we're going to criticize him. Oh, he did a puff piece with this hand-picked. Remember Dave Zirin? He spoke with him. Oh, well, that's a puff piece. That's his buddy.
He did? Yeah.
So if he takes a tough, you know, somebody interviews him tough questions, then he doesn't want to answer them or he's dodgy. There's no win here. Yesterday, Eric said something great. You said, hey, mid-season, somebody needs a quarterback. Colin Kaepernick's there. He could nuke himself in a press conference now and shut himself out of getting somewhere mid-season.
And that's the time that he has to explain himself. You say he needs to explain himself. To whom? To us?
The world.
No, he doesn't.
Football people.
No, the football people that actually want to hire him. So if you want him, because just this right now, Tony Romo doesn't have to have a press conference and say, I want to play football. But if a team wants him, do you think they're going to call Tony Romo? And Tony Romo will have his conversations with them. Do we believe someone's going to call Tony Romo? We all do. We think when a quarterback goes down, he's going to get a call. He's not saying he wants to. He doesn't need to. Colin Kaepernick doesn't need to say, I want to play football. Everyone knows he wants to play. And the teams that are truly interested in him, now you sit down, just like at the combine. They don't interview every player. They interview the players that they want because I want to see what you're about. I'm thinking about bringing you into my organization. Now you have this conversation. He doesn't need to prove anything to me.
Here's the thing where I disagree, though. All these other players we're talking about hypothetically didn't kneel during the national anthem for an entire season and make themselves the focus of so much conversation around them. He's a tricky situation. Come out and explain, because if I'm an NFL owner or coach or whatever, I'm just like, okay, he's not going to kneel again. That's what he leaked out. But what might he do? Is he planning on wearing his pig socks during practice? Is he planning some other type of protest?
But listen to what you're saying.
That's a great question. Let me ask this, though. Why shouldn't the Seattle Seahawks come out and explain why they didn't pick him? Pete Carroll came out and said he's a starter in this league. Well, wait, you signed Austin Davis. Where's the Seahawks front office?
They met him. If he needs to give you an explanation, if he needs to give the press one, and that's what I'm saying, he doesn't need to give one. He needs to answer to the Seattle Seahawks when they bring him in or any other team that brings him in, but he doesn't need to hold a press conference so that we feel better about it.
Well, at what point, though, if your point's an interesting one. The more I listen to you guys, I'm thinking, yeah, could he get himself in trouble? Would it be a puff piece? But if he doesn't get picked up this year, and I do think there's a real chance when a team's 6-5 in midseason, we're talking games, not stuff, he could get picked.
Selling tickets.
Yeah, I mean, he's an NFL quarterback. He's just not a guy I'm building around. But here's my thing. If he didn't play this year, like, he's seeking employment. The Seahawks aren't seeking employment. They have leverage. Collins seeking employment. Teams are filling out rosters. Could I make the argument is, okay, you can be patient if you're a team. He's an athlete, waning, slipping, nobody's talking.
Understood, but will a tweet, will a press conference, will any type of statement allow the owners that are saying we don't want him on our team to change their mind?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Because he's not offended. He didn't offend. I don't think he offended the fan base as much, the percentage as much as he offended a larger percentage of the owners themselves that write the checks.
How about this? If he talked, Spike Lee wouldn't have to.
100%.
That if he absolutely came out and said, just say, man, I miss football. I love football. I want to play football. Here's my agent. Almost laughing at it.
And everyone would say, well, he had no choice but to say that. Listen, you know it.
I'm a polarizing figure, and people have written a lot of negative things about me. And I've been silenced. I've had people silence me and just let it go away. Your work will define you. No. I have to go into the storm and define myself. That's why I'm always available to do interviews with my critics, whomever, to define myself. Colin Kaepernick is a polarizing figure. He would be better served. I've walked a mile in his shoes. He'd be better served confronting his critics and addressing them directly than hiding behind tweets. Joining us once again are Eddie House and Cedric Ceballos. Let's return to the NBA. To Lonzo Ball, who seemed like a lock to be the Lakers' top pick, but there are now conflicting reports out there. Jordan Schultz of the Huffington Post said that if the draft was held right now, the Lakers would pass on Lonzo.
Yeah.
And then again, last night, former Lakers coach Pat Riley was at an event with Magic Johnson and had this to say.
He's going to sit up there in that box of his, and when things aren't going good the first year, he's going to want to go down there and be Lonzo Ball's mentor.
Yeah.
All right, Colin, you buying any of this that the Lakers are having second thoughts about Lonzo?
No, absolutely not. Is this a 30-year NBA reporter? No. Give me a break. This kid, UCLA, just had their best attendance in 19 years. There's a lot to do in LA. This kid's a star. College basketball in the last 15 years has been watered down. He drove people to UCLA basketball. They finished third in the conference. He drove people there. Magic Johnson knows a lot of things. And you know what he gets? Stars work in LA. This is not Milwaukee. You can win, but you got to win and be interesting. I mean, the Dodgers win, but you got to win titles, or it's kind of flat feeling. Lonzo Ball would set every Summer League TV record, every Summer League attendance record, overnight. The second he signs with the Lakers, he is commerce throughout this league.
I'm 90% with you, but this is one thing that you've been saying for the past month. Leaks are out there because someone wanted it out there.
Yes.
And when you start talking about, I don't want to go inside baseball, when you start talking about the Huffington Post and some of these other native advertising sites and sites that don't traditionally cover the things that they're talking about, this was put out there for a reason. Someone wanted it out there. And maybe the Lakers are having, maybe they want a little wiggle room as it relates to Lonzo Ball.
No way, man. That's all bluff game. It's all bluff game. It's just they don't want the Celtics to use Lonzo, drafting Lonzo Ball as a bargaining tool. because they know that everybody wants Lonzo to go to the Lakers. So if I'm the Celtics, the smartest thing to do is say, I'm drafting him.
Yeah.
And if you want him, we could flip-flop picks and let me get some of your players and another future first-round pick maybe next year or the year after that, and that would give them three in each of the 2 years if they was to do that. So it's all bluff game. But if I'm the Celtics, I'm taking him number one anyway. He's the best player in the draft. But that's the reason why they came out and said that. I mean, and that's a subliminal too, what Pat Riley did.
What Magic is learning, this is his first time in the front office, and I think his initial was, let me go get the next me, Magic Johnson. One, it'll keep him in the light because they'll be taking pictures together, you know, him wearing the old jersey or such and such. But the reason the Lakers are putting this story out, and I think it's true, is because, like you said, and I said too, Lonzo should be the first pick. He's a perfect slot for Boston on what they want to do with Isaiah or they don't want to do with Isaiah. If they don't get Alonzo, they want the number two pick to be happy. They don't want to say Lakers' second selection is, and that person goes, well, they want Alonzo, so I guess I'm your second pick. No, they have to say this. They can't go out and say, we want Lonzo, we want Lonzo, and then Boston goes and takes him.
And it's also not just to the player, but it's a good point by Cedric that it's a bad message to the fans.
Yes.
Okay, we got Josh Jackson, and the fans are like, oh, we wanted Lonzo. So you're really protecting your brand.
Yeah,
they want Lonzo, but they don't want to make it sound like to their fans, Lonzo's remarkably better than everybody
else. They have the number two pick, not the number one
pick. We know for a fact that if Lonzo's there, he's the best player in draft number one. And if the C's were to go pick Markelle Fultz or whoever they want to go draft first, he telling me that the Lakers aren't going to grab Lonzo Ball. Of course they're going to grab Lonzo Ball. Yes. So it goes back to it's all bluff game.
I understand the bluff game you're talking, Eddie, but it's the fact that that number two, you still have to satisfy your fans, your sponsors, and also your team. That player that's going to be number two that's not Lonzo, it's going to be like, man, they scream Lonzo for the whole time. Remember when Shaq...
But you can't do nothing because you don't have the number one pick. If he got picked before, there's nothing you could do.
I get it, but he's making a great point because also... Maybe this is an indication that Boston is thinking like you think. I don't care what Lonzo and LeVar want to do. Yeah. If he's the best player, we're taking him.
Right.
Maybe that's why.
Here's the down. Generally speaking, in our sports world, there's an advantage to being New York and L.A., right?
Yeah.
Like, that's an advantage. But here's the disadvantage to being in those markets, is that you have these regional deals, these Time Warner, the YES Network. And those executives lean on you. You're not signing Kobe? Well, we're not signing an 8-year deal with you, the Buss family, if you don't sign Kobe for 2 years. Or the YES Network goes to the Yankees and said, we'd like A-Rod to play one more year with you. The downside to being the Lakers and the Yankees, these empirical brands on the coast with big regional networks, is they want stars. Lonzo Ball for Time Warner or whoever the Spectrum, whatever the company is, they want Lonzo Ball. Markelle Fultz isn't selling tickets. Lonzo's selling tickets.
There's been four players to come out in the NBA draft that the number one pick, as soon as they got that pick, said, that's who I'm taking. I don't care what's going on. It's been Magic Johnson when the Lakers got him. It's been Patrick Ewing, New York, Shaquille O'Neal, and LeBron James. It doesn't matter. As soon as they won the lottery, you can go ahead and say that because that's the unanimous number one pick. In this situation, it's kind of fuzzy because obviously the great fit is for him to go to Los Angeles. But Boston, you can't turn down the best player in the draft. It's Danny Ainge is behind
the
eight ball.
They don't necessarily.
Maybe.
They think, well, I mean, from what I'm hearing,
I'm using him as a bargaining tool. I'm saying, hey, man, I'm drafting him. You want him so bad, let's make some moves. You want to satisfy your fans, to your point, you want to satisfy your fans and be happy. Hey, guess what? I think I'm going to take him, so let's make a trade.
Let's ask, you're a basketball fan. Would you go to the Lakers more with Markelle Fultz or Lonzo Ball?
Well, in year one, Lonzo Ball.
There you go.
But again, who's going to be the better player in the long haul is going to sell the most tickets.
Welcome back. Eddie House, Cedric Sabalas are here. Let's return to the NBA Finals. Game two may be in the books, but people haven't stopped talking about this play in the third quarter. Steph Curry blew past LeBron, flashy, layup, then celebrated a bit too much for some people's taste, including radio host in New York, Mike Francesa.
Curry looked ridiculous on that play. Listen, you know how many times LeBron James has scored over every one of them and not shown them up? It just shows you that Curry doesn't have a lot of class as a player. I'm sorry. To me, he acts like a clown on the court. You do not do that. You don't do that to a player You know how many times LeBron has dunked over him or embarrassed him and scored over him and not shown him up? I mean, for him to do that, the one time he scores over him is just ridiculous. I thought that was really classless on Curry's part. I really did.
All right, Whitlock, you think Steph Curry's a bit cocky?
Spoken like a man who's never competed in athletics at any level. That's what that sounded like to me. When you are facing perhaps arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, and you're some 6'2", 6'3" guy that played at Davidson, no matter how many MVP awards, there's a physical mismatch, there's a historical mismatch, and the emotion that Steph has to play at, given his stature and athleticism, this makes perfect sense.
Let me play devil's advocate, though. Is that Curry small, slender? I mean, he's not going to ever get in a fight, non-threatening. We allow him to do a lot more. He's on the floor with a towel over his head. We would eat LeBron alive if he did that. Like, Curry's allowed to be the talker and cocky because he's a little guy. He's a little guy. He's a suburb guy. He's a fun guy. Like, he does things during games that if Kobe did, if LeBron did, we'd be like, come on, man, that is over the top. He gets away with a lot.
I'm a kid growing up in Los Angeles, and there was a dog called a German Shepherd. Everybody had a German Shepherd named King that we walked by quietly. We didn't want to run out and bite us. That's what Steph did on that play. He had a great play against a great player. He never looked LeBron in his eye and talked trash like LeBron did when he smacked his, blocked his shot last year in the finals. LeBron looked over and made sure he knew who he was talking to. Curry is just a kid out there having fun. I don't think he's cocky at all. I think he's just so good at what he does, and then he has a little fun afterwards. He shimmies, he shakes.
On the sideline?
He's having a little
fun. It's a real fine line between confident and cocky, depending on who's looking at it. And I think he's just confident. He's playing. He took the best player in the world we've been talking about, took him to the basket. Like you said, he remembered him getting his shot blocked and LeBron looking back at him.
Yeah.
That was a momentum booster as well, man. That was big time play right there. And you can show emotion. He's been doing it his whole career, if you think about it. Yeah. He shimmies. He did the stomp when he hit the shot against OKC last year in the regular season. He's been doing this all the time. He celebrates, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's what you do. And to your point, Whit,
Look at that.
The guy talking about.
He puts his ear up. What if LeBron did that?
Nothing wrong with that. That's how LeBron never does that. AI used to do it all the time. So if that's how you are and that's how you play, you got to let it rock. And it's all in confidence. It's not cocky. And he's not showing anybody in particular up.
That is the era, gentlemen. And also, if you don't like him doing it, stop him from doing it. They've said it time and time again.
He ain't playing quarterback.
Nobody in the league can stop him.
But I
want to
get to your point. That guy that was talking on there, you could tell that he's never played. He never had a celebratory moment in his life as far as being in the athletic realm or the athletic world. He has never done that. So sometimes you get excited. You know what I mean? You just like John Wall jumped on the scoreboard. It was all emotion. That's raw emotion.
Some news to you, Eddie.
That's all emotion.
Francesa has a hard time staying awake on air a lot of times.
Oh, come on.
As always, you got to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and YouTube just so you can get all of it everywhere, whenever, wherever. Folks, I just want to end the podcast with this. Any idea that the 96 Bulls would beat the 2017 Warriors is ludicrous. That team was a one-man show. Kukoc came off the bench and was a nice player. Scottie Pippen was a great number two. They did not have the scoring to hang with these Warriors. Forget about the three-point line being moved back. I mean, can you imagine Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Durant assaulting that three-point line? Vegas oddsmakers are right. This team would wipe the floor with the 96 Bulls. Talk to you tomorrow.